Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul. Now we got to remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the revelation of spirit, soul, and body. So this is where their life really emanates from. My soul waits silently for God alone. My expectation is from Him. And the Lord has led me this morning to talk about expectation. And this verse really sets the tone for everything we're going to do because it tells us where our expectation or what our expectation, or said better even, who our expectation is to be set upon. This came up to me when I was praying in early December about what to teach for the stretch of 4 weeks that the Lord has offered this opportunity through the church here. And as I began to prepare, I felt He wanted us to be encouraged today and to raise up our expectations. And that's going to lead to a whole series of things. Now, the word expectation in this verse is the Hebrew word tikvah, which literally means accord. And it comes from a word meaning to bind together. As if you would see taking three individual cords and binding them together as one. And it's translated expectation, and it's also translated hope. And that makes sense to us because what is Bible hope? Confident, joyful expectation. And so today, that's what I believe the Lord wants to challenge us with. And I'm going to share some personal stuff with you about how He's challenged me. So the question I would ask you as we start this morning is regarding healing schools. And He's asked me the same questions now. What is my expectation every time I come? Let me put myself in your place. Is it to get a good teaching? Only? Is it to receive healing for myself? Is it to learn how to minister? Is it believing for others and really having an expectation that every time we come together, there's going to be somebody here that walks out the door with what they've needed when they came in? And I got to be honest with you, a lot of times, I think we've shifted this a little bit with our prayer time in the mornings before we start this service. But a lot of times I just sense that we come just wanting to hear and wanting to see a healing, but it ends up being more wish than expectation. And so today I just want to challenge you to think about during the coming week, what do you expect from healing school? And it's not just healing school. We ought to be the same way every Sunday morning, on Wednesday nights. What do we expect to get? My expectation should be lined up with the Lord. Now, as we encourage this morning, I don't want you to perceive any condemnation. And if you feel it, just know that it's not coming from me or the Lord, but it's the devil just trying to separate you from what we're going to be talking about today. Because He's doing this for our good. So let me tell you about what happened to me. On December 28th of last year, after hearing what to teach for this, I was awakened at 3:23 in the morning. And you've got, sure most of you have been awakened in a sense that you knew the Lord was wanting to talk to you. I've been listening to some things. And sure enough, I sensed, get up and go to your office. So I did. And as I got there, I heard some of the things that He had started to tell me before. He ministered some things about what He wanted us to do ministry-wise, as I had been seeking Him about that at year end. And then, surprising to me, He made this statement. He said, I need you longer than you think. Now, if I'm honest with you, we're doing much more today than I ever thought we would do. My thoughts was, okay, we'll move to Macon, Lord, like you told me. You're going to have us do some things, and then in a few years I'll really retire. But when you hear those words, I need you longer than you think, it kind of wakes you up. He then continued and told me to be more aggressive in speaking His word to my body. And so I know that's the way that He's wanting me to begin to conduct the battle against this flesh that wants to be lazy and succumb to a lot of the things that the devil wants us to do. And so what I am sensing is it's time for us to declare who He says we are. And we're not going to really talk about that as much today. But really what we're doing is declaring what I term our in Him realities. Who we are, what we have in Him today here on this earth. And then, this was a real strong thing for me. We were up for probably an hour. And then he finished up talking about some things that are personal and not germane to this. So today, I want us to really look at what should my expectations be? Not just my desires, but my expectations be about my life and healing. And what we're going to talk about today is long life, living this life long and strong, and we'll just touch on today and maybe a little more later, and serving. So living long and strong while serving. Now, when we start talking about living long and health, a lot of people think, well, you're talking to the older folks. Yes, I am. But I'm also talking to the very youngest in here. Because I can tell you, yeah, somebody's raising their hand back in the back. I'll let you turn and look. I wish I had known when I was in my mid-30s, even though I'd been taught some of this, I wish I had really known it down in my heart and experienced it so that when the 40s started, that decade of my age, that I would have been better prepared for some things I needed to be battling that some of us are still believing for today. So this is for everybody, and you're better off to start when you're young. And if you haven't done it, we're never too old to begin. So let's do this by looking at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today about long life, but that's not all. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then look at verse 3. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, if I asked you, what is the first commandment with promise? You would say, honor your parents. And I would, if I said to you, well, what is the promise? More than likely, and I've been guilty of this, my response would be that I may live long on the earth. And we have that. That is a promise that we can have, we can believe it, we can act on it, and we can expect a long life. But as Paul Harvey would say, that's not the whole story. There's a rest of the story. So let's go back. And let me just move back up. When I think about living a long life, I've seen a lot of people live a long life. And I've seen a lot of people be very proud of how long they've lived. But when I've looked at them from the outside in, they're living long and miserable every day. And I'm going to tell you, that is not the Lord's desire for us. And what they're doing most of the time is they're proud of how long they are living instead of being thankful for how long He's given us here to live and to serve Him on this earth. So if we back up and read this whole verse, let's look at the first part of verse 3. Because I don't want that kind of quality of life. I don't think that's what God wants for us. The whole promise says, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So what's he telling us here? Long life, living well. Now, the Greek word for whale there is the word eu, pronounced you, which literally means well or good. Well or good. Now, it's the foundation of the word that is used in 3 John 2, which says, I wish above all things, or I pray above all things, that you may prosper. The word there, prosper, the foundation of that word is this two-letter word, EU, meaning well. And it adds the word for road, indicate a good journey or a well journey. So he is telling us in more than one place that he wants this journey of life that we're on, not just to be long, but for it to go well with us. And too often, we just get focused on the living long. The phrase that I often hear people say is, well, I'm getting by. Well, I'm going to tell you, getting by and living an overcoming life is on equal ends of the spectrum. How about if I say it's as far as the east is from the west? Because Jesus paid a price for us to do much, much more than just get by. Now let's go to Psalm 91. Another good verse or set of verses about living long. Psalm 91, and we're going to read the last three verses in this psalm. Now, I want you to remember, as we read these verses, that this is the Father speaking. El Elyon, El Shaddai. That's who your God is. And He's speaking this word to you. Because He has loved me, the Lord says, therefore I will deliver Him. And then it says, I'm going to set Him securely on high because He's known my name. He knows me. Verse 15, He will call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. Now let's stop for a moment and talk about these two words here. Rescue. In the King James, it may say deliver. But He's going to rescue us. Now, what is that really implying? What does it mean? The Hebrew word there is, in our English spelling, is C-H-A-L-A-T-S. And the literal meaning of it is to pull off. But it also means to equip or to strengthen. And it's interesting, in one commentary, it says to equip is really to equip for a fight. In fact, another verb form of this same word says to be active. So what is this signifying to us? That He's going to equip us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to cause us to be active. In other words, it's like He's giving us the ability to resist. And isn't that really how our deliverance comes? When we begin to speak it out, any weapon formed against me, you will condemn. That's a strong word to us that we play a role in this deliverance by speaking what He gives to us. And then it says to honor Him. The word for honor there is the same word in the Hebrew, kabod, that is the root word for God's glory. Now think about it. What did the psalmist say about man? You've crowned him with what? Glory. With His very presence, with all that He is, all of His weightiness. So He's pulled us out of the kingdom of darkness and crowned us with His glory. That's part of our in Him reality. And when we're in His presence, what should we be experiencing? Psalm says fullness of joy. But everything that God is what is coming to us when we're in that. And again, that's our in Him reality. And then verse 16 that we most often read, with a long life. Now, here at High Point, if you've been coming to Healing School long, or this is your place of worship, you know we take that long and make it long, go for a while. And too often, that's what we end up focusing on. But look at this long, good, and I do want it long. This long life is one that what? We're going to live satisfied. Now, to me, a life of misery, even though it's long, that's not what I want to live, and it's not what we see the Father wants us to live. So what is satisfied here? It is the Hebrew word S-A-B-A, which means to sate. Now, what that means is to fill with satisfaction, to be full of, to have plenty of. Now, what has he just said he's going to give to us in the previous verse? He's going to rescue us and he's going to give us his glory, his honor. That ought to be the way we're seeing this, is we're being filled up with that. You know, in the word sate there literally means to have an overabundance, to indulge to the full. Now, what does that make you think about? Psalm 23. How big a cup you got? You can have a little cup or you can have a big cup. Whatever. What you think that cup size is what's going to be overflowing. That filled to abundance with good thing. Now, sate also has an implication of being satisfied, particularly the thirst. Then we continue on. So I will satisfy him and let him see. Now that word to see is a word which means to provide, to experience. What is he telling us here? That this is something we can have. This is not just something we read about, but we're talking about a long life that is filled with his abundance. And then he's going to let us see his salvation. And the word for salvation there is the word Yeshua. Saved, deliverance, victory, welfare, health. Overflowing with that, fully satisfied, feeling like everything that we've ever wanted in life has come our way. His goodness to me. Let me read you the Passion Translation. And this is the Father speaking again. I'll remind you that. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness. That's all those things we said. It's not a part of them. It's all of them. The fullness of my salvation. So a long, healthy, prosperous life. Kind of sounds like New Testament word Zoe life, doesn't it? The God kind of life. What we have in Him. And what we have in Him, that's that in Him realities. That's what's already inside you. His life in me. Now, as I was studying this, I found some notes that I had made back in 2009. And I don't remember who I was listening to. But this pastor was telling a story of a man who came up for prayer for healing of pain that he was experiencing. And the gentleman who was ministering to him, I assume it was a pastor, just asked him, "How old are you?" And he said, 99. Long life. Would you agree? And the pastor said to him, "Wow, you're old enough to go see Jesus, you know." And he said, "Why would you want healing?" Now, that's something I don't think anybody here would ever say to you. But let me tell you his response. Pastor said it really made him mad when he said it to him. And the man replied to him, "I am going to see him when I die. You're right, I could go see him. But as long as I'm alive, he is my healer." Now think about that. As long as we're alive, he is my healer. My dad used to say, "You can't be a sissy and get old." And I would laugh at him. But today I would say, "No, Dad, that's wrong thinking." Because he's looking what? Just at the physical part of it. That's not where our healing comes from. That's not on what my expectation is to be based. Because we have an opportunity. So I think that We have the opportunity at every age of life. I also had this note that I had written of what was said to me. I was 57 at this time, been retired a couple of years. And the Lord said, did I not bear your pains and diseases and tell you that by my stripes you're healed? At 57, at 70, and at 99. Folks, that's the heritage that we have. That's what dwells inside us. He went on and told me, neither my experiences or the experiences of anybody else ought to take my perspective away from him and his word and what he just said. Yet what do we do? Our expectation so often is just bad to worse to worse. That's just the way life is. But that's not, I think, the expectation that the Lord wants us to have. So as we spend the rest of our time together today, I'm just going to go over 8 or 10 scriptures, and we're not going to spend a long time on any one of them, concerning living long, living strong, which includes healthy, and just a couple on serving Him, and then we'll touch on it later. So go with me to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 18th verse. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs, quick. New American Standard here says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there's no vision, King James says, the people perish. The word literally does mean unconstrained or unrestrained, with no restraints, no guiding factors in their life. Well, what is he saying? What is he talking about? Well, if you look up in verse 17, he's talking about correction, receiving correction, his words. If you look down in verse 19, he's talking about a slave who will not be instructed by just words alone. So words is the key part of what he's talking about here. So what are we looking when there's no vision, or better said, when there's no revelation? It's talking about when there's no revelation of his word, then you're going to go whatever way the wind blows, and it's going to take you that way. But he's given us his word. So let's look now at Proverbs 3 and look at some of the words he's given us about his word and about living a long, satisfied life. Let's start in verse 13. I equate wisdom as the revelation knowledge of God's word so that I understand it and know how to act on it. So in Proverbs 3, in verse 13, it reads this way. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And by the way, if you look at the verse before this, it talks about the Lord loves those who he reproves. So if you see yourself as being greatly loved by the Lord, then you need to expect for him to continually correct you, because he wants to keep you on that right path. And then verse 13 tells us how to stay on that path. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. And then verse 16. Long life, here's what we've been talking about, is in her right hand. But look at that second phrase. That doesn't sound to me like just getting by, does it? In that left hand are riches and honor. And the word honor here is the same word for honor we saw earlier, which is the same word used for his glory. Now look back up to verse 1 in this same chapter. Here we're encouraged, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So we're back again to his word that we've just seen has been made wisdom to us. And then look at verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace. Length of life, years of life, and nothing missing, nothing broken. Will what? These words will add to you. These words will add to us. Look down at verse 8 in this same chapter, and it continues talking about trusting in the Lord, don't lean on our own understanding. And verse 8 gives us the net result of that. It will be healing to our body and refreshment to our bones. Refreshment to our bones. So what are we seeing here? His word is setting our expectation for a long life and a life well lived, healthy, peaceful, nothing missing, nothing broken. Can we get that in our heart, as Pastor Robert's been talking about, so that that word in here is stronger than everything we're looking and seeing and feeling in our body? And that's where we need to get to. That's what he wants to encourage us with today. Now, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, a lot more scriptures about building this expectation. But I just want to remind you, and Pastor Trey has mentioned it recently in some of his teachings, in the first chapter of Mark, Peter's wife's mother is sick. And they implore Jesus, would he speak healing over her, which he does. What did she do as soon as she got well? She went around serving. Now, I think she did that because that was her natural tendency. But I want you to see, when we are well, we are able to fully do what he wants us to do. All these people who say, and I'm not knocking it, I understand where they're coming from, I just think they're wrong, that they can glorify God better with whatever he's put on them by enduring it. I don't think that's scriptural at all. This is not the life that he's promised us. And can we get our expectation to that point? Pastor Trey also talked recently about, in going through the healings in Acts, about Dorcas. And what did they tell her? Look at all she did for us. So we know she'd been serving. And I think that's right what she went back to when she was raised up again. I don't want to live a long life where I'm not doing something for the Master. Let me say that differently. I am never going to retire from what I'm doing today, even if I'm not standing up in front and doing it. And that ought to be you and I as well. Each one of us is called to serve him in some capacity. Genesis 25th chapter, 8th verse. Genesis 25, the 8th verse. And this is about Abraham. And I just want to remind you, because we are here at Healing School, and part of our expectation ought to be every time we come, I'm going to hear something today that's going to put me in a position to minister to others. Do you remember that Abraham, in fact, it's the first instance I know of in the Bible where someone prayed for someone else. Abraham prayed for Abimelech and his wife because they were not able to have children, and says she was healed. So why do I say this? Because we are joint heirs with Abraham. So anything that he had happen to him that God did for him, that says I'm in a position to receive that for me just as well. Verse 7 tells us his age here. 175. And it says, Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age. An old man, and look at what he was. Satisfied. That's that same word we talked about earlier. Satisfied. All that he had was provided. It was overflowing coming to him. Satisfied with his life. And he was gathered to his people. Let me read you the Amplified. Then Abraham's spirit was released, and he died at a good, an ample, a full old age, an old man, satisfied and satiated. Satiated means to drink, to have your thirst taken care of. Satisfied and satiated. That's what that word literally means. And was what? Gathered to his people. Does that sound like a life that wasn't full of the Lord providing him good things, even though a lot of other things came against him? That's our target life right there. That's what we can have as a joint heir with him. A full, concerning numbers of years, but a satisfied and satiated life. A life well-pleasing both to us and, if we're serving, to the Lord. That's our bar. That's the expectation we ought to have. Now, you can say, well, that was one man. Well, look at Deuteronomy, 33rd chapter. And we're going to read just a couple of verses here. First verse tells us what is going on here. Now, this is the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. Now find in your Bible verse 25. Verse 25 here says, and your lot shall be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so shall your leisurely walk be. Now, if you look at this in some other translations, like the New King James, it gives you a little better translation. It says, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. Now, if you look at that literally, what's in the Hebrew, it says, as your days, your strength. As your days, your strength. Well, how are my days? Long. How's my strength going to be? Strong. How long will my strength be strong? As long as your days. The Amplified, you know, really and truly, that's like saying live long, live strong. That's what that verse is kind of telling us. The Amplified says, and for that part, and as your day, so shall your strength, your rest, and your security be. The Dewey Range Bible says, as the days of your youth, so also shall thy old age be. And when I read that, I think about Caleb. Do you remember what he said in Joshua 14? Give me the land. Let me go take it. I'm just as strong today as I was 40 years ago when he went into that land. That's the expectation that we can have. Now, God's Word translation concludes this way. May your strength last as long as you live. So our expectation ought to be, I'm not just going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. As long as I live, my strength will remain strong in me. Now, let's look at a couple of other verses that tell us a similar thing. Deuteronomy 34:7, talking about Moses. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor was his natural vigor diminished. The Webster translation says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his strength gone. God's word for this one says his eyesight never became poor, and he never lost his physical strength. Now, folks, for me, I wish I had the revelation. Yes, I knew this verse, but I didn't have it down in here when I approached 40. And all of a sudden my arms were not quite long enough. I've determined in my life it is easier to stay well than it is to get well. Now, what does that mean? That means I need to be confessing all the time that I am well. I'm walking that way. So that when things attack, guess what I've already done? I've already built up that wall around it by saying His words about me so that that hedge of protection is there. Now, if these verses are true about these Old Testament people, how much more should they be true about you and I today? You know, Scripture tells us that three relationships with God. Scripture says that He is for us. We can show many verses about that. Then it talks about also, for I am with you. And those are true about Old Testament folks and us New Testament folks. But the next one He says is, I'm going to be in you. That's unique to you and I. If they could walk in this without the Spirit, the very fullness of the Spirit of God dwelling in them, what should we have as our expectation with the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you? I have been looking too low, and it's time to raise my sights. And how am I raising them? Up to His Word. Too often, and we'll even get people tell us sometime, don't try to get their hope up. Wait a minute. The first verse we saw said, my expectation is from God. I ought to be looking up to Him. You know, if we say don't get our hope up, we're just saying the natural way is going to overcome us. Look at, just write this one down because I'm not going to read but one translation for you. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. In God's Word, it says, I will restore your health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. So He's talking there to people who were bound up, who were having problems, who looked frail, and what is He saying? I'm going to restore back to you, and I'm going to heal you. So if we've missed it, what do we know? We know He's going to take us right back to where He intended us to be if we'll just humble ourselves toward Him and seek Him as our expectation. Isaiah 40:29. And yes, I'm repeating, but that's okay. Isaiah 40:29 says, He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he does what? He increases power. Let me read you the Amplified. He gives power to the faint and to the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. And I really like this amplification. Causing it to multiply and making it to abound. You remember our definitions for satisfied life? That overflowing? That big cup? So I'll say again, do we have one of those little Dixie cups? Or to use Pastor Trey's favorite example, do we have a big gulp? What is our expectation? You know, I've heard people say, and I believe it, what you look at, you make room for. And what you make room for, you become. What are you looking at concerning our physical being? If we're just looking at each other, then our expectation is not from Him. We've got to raise our expectation. I think we're seeing verse after verse that He wants us to do it. Look at Psalm 36. And again, all these are Old Testament promises, many of them prophetic about us today. Psalm 36, and I want to start in verse 5. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mountains of God. Thy judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, or thy loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And look at verse 8. They drink their fill of what? Abundance. Okay, let's just stop. Abundance of what? Abundance of everything that he is. That's in his house. That's where this abundance is. All that he is. And by the way, now that's all of that is dwelling in you and I. And you give them to drink of the river. He's not just giving you drop by drop. He's flowing it into us. To drink from the river of your delights. Now let's go back to one of the reasons we're at healing school. So you can minister to others. What does the book of John, what is it, the 7th chapter, say about us? Out of us are to flow rivers, plural, of living water, of life. We are not just being given this long life so we can sit and do nothing. We're being given this long, satisfied life so we can hand it to everyone who needs it. Raising our vision. Now verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. And what did Jesus say? He is the light. Now, where is he dwelling? In you. So what are others ought to be seeing as well? In us, not just reflecting, but his light shining so brightly. What part of his light? Laying your hands on somebody and watching them be restored. That's our expectation. You know, the latter part of December, the last days when some of this was coming to me, I began thinking about three things that I had been believing for. Three different people, actually. And I won't talk about who they are, concerning their healing. And I've seen one of them. And I'm going to tell you, the other two are going to happen as well. And they're all involving people who are here on some occasions. And my expectation is that we're going to see some restorations of things, particularly long-standing things that increase. And it's going to increase. And it's going to increase. It's going to be like popcorn going off. We're going to see those kind of things if we'll increase our expectation. And then look at verse 10. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you. That's me. And your righteousness to the upright in heart. And that's us. So this is not something that was just back then. This is being given to us today as well. Look at Psalm 103. Now, what do we say when we open to, a teacher says, turn to this psalm. What are we saying when we say, oh yeah, I know that one? We're saying, I think I've got all the revelation knowledge there is of it. Don't do that. Let it just sink into you, the depth of what we're seeing in this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Now let's stop there. Forget none of his benefits, which he is pouring out like a river into your big gulp. Don't read this as if it's just a scripture that's not being dumped on you. Begin to see it for you. And then verse 3. Who pardons all your iniquities? We don't have any problems with that. Jesus forgave my sins. This next part, do we believe it just like we believe the first part? Who heals all our diseases? Now, I'm not standing in front of you having received everything I need. There are some things in my life physically that I am walking out. Just because we get to stand up and teach this does not mean that because we teach it, He makes us totally well. We have to believe it just like you do. So I'm going through some of the same things that you are. I've seen some things come and I've seen them go. But don't sit back there and look at me. Yeah, that's easy for you to say. We're all in the same boat. And Jesus was too. There's no temptation come to you and me that didn't come to Him. And He overcame it. And so can you and I. Verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness or mercy, the word hesed, and compassion. And then verse 5. Now this one starts out just like we saw in Ephesians 6, verse 3. Who satisfies, except it said things go well. Who satisfies your years. So He's talking about the entirety of our life being satisfied with good things. So that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, have you ever seen, as I have, the analogy that a lot of people have, and if you go Google it, you're going to find it. A lot of people teach that an eagle goes out every so some part of his life and beats his beak against the rock till he breaks it. And then he loses all his feathers at the same time. And he's helpless there, defeated. But God protects him, and his beak grows back, and his claws grow back, and his feathers grow back. And they tell that as if it's the truth. It couldn't be farther from the truth. How are you renewed? Are you renewed day by day? That's just like an eagle. His beak is made out of a material that is constantly renewing himself. His claws are the same way. His feathers, they molt. They're replenished. Different part molts. They're replenished. There's never a time where he's not soaring above. And that's what this one is telling us. We can have our life renewed day by day by day if we'll expect it. If we'll get to the point where, again, as Robert has been teaching us, we've got to get it down in our heart. We're not wishing this. We're not liking it. We're not just hoping as the world thinks. We have a confident, and if we're confident, we're going to be joyful expectation that this is the life I can live. But I've never experienced it, you might say. Well, I don't think you can look around here and find anybody who has experienced it in every area of their life and every part of their body. But you can look around here and find a bunch of people who can tell you, let me tell you what God did for me. How He healed this. How He healed that. What are you going to look at? Raise our expectations up. So we go back to Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is for Him. So let me ask you the question. How long can we look for this in our life? Go to Psalm 116, first two verses. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Do you know that? That's exactly what Pastor Trey was talking about and praying this morning in his prayers when we were in the circle together. Thank you, Lord, because you hear my voice. And I know you hear it because when I pray your will, you say you hear it. And when you hear it because I'm praying your will, then I know I have it because that is your word to me. I love the Lord because He hears my voice in my supplications. Okay, verse 2. Because He has inclined His ear to me. I believe He said, Lord, we're so gracious to You that You listen to our words, that You listen to our request. Now, am I telling the truth? Some of you who are here are nodding. And look at what it says next. Therefore, because he has inclined his ear to us, because he does watch over his word to perform it, I shall call upon him, and I'm going to say, as my healer, as long as I live. As long as I live. Look at Psalm 92, 12th verse. And this one even came up, I believe, here recently in a Sunday morning service. The righteous man, is that you? Let me ask that question again. I got two answers. The righteous man, is that you? Yes. Okay. Will flourish like a palm tree. Will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish, there's that word again, in the courts of our God. Now, let's just stop. Flourished and flourished. Does that sound to you like getting by? Does it sound to you like constantly suffering, constantly in anxiety and mental torment or in some physical? No, it says we can flourish in his courts, in his presence. And then verse 14, they will still yield fruit in old age. In other words, we're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which Pastor Trey has taught us. That's a level of maturity. But I also believe this can mean we're going to produce fruit for the kingdom that remains, which means we're doing things for Him. We're letting that light shine. We shall be full of sap and very green. In other words, flexible. Now, to some of us who are aging, that is important. So we have this promise. Now I just want to ask this question and go to Psalm 109. The Lord has told us He's doing this for us. But in doing this, who gets the glory? And I want you to just look at these four verses with me. First verse is 21. But you, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me, not because I deserve it, but for what? For your name's sake. Now, if I'm doing something for his name's sake, then that means I'm doing it for him. I'm serving him. But if it's for his name's sake, it's about him, not me. Because your loving kindness, your chesed, your mercy is good, deliver me. Now go down to the next one is verse 26. Help me, O Lord my God, save. That's that from that root word from Yeshua, it's Yeshah, which Yeshua is taken from. So it's save, it's deliverance, it's prosperity, it's healing, it's well-being. Give me those things according to your loving kindness. So who did he give you? Yeshua? Jesus? And he brought all those things to us. He purchased them. He took on all the stuff that we don't want so that we could, he identified with us in that way so that he could provide in a great exchange all these things to us. Verse 27. And let them know, those that are looking at you and I, that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. So it's not about, look at how long I've lived. It's about you, Lord. You've kept me here. You've kept me well. You're giving me strength day to day. And then the final verse, 30, I believe it is. With my mouth, I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord. And in the midst of many, I will praise Him. And we'll be happy to pray with folks. But if this has touched your heart like it's touched mine, just preparing it and even speaking it to you again, then what do we need to be doing? If it's mine, then I need to act like it. And so I'm praising and worshiping Him. So Father, we do praise You. We worship You. We magnify Your name. And we thank You today for the revelation that You give us so that we don't perish, so that we don't run unrestrained, but we run according to Your word. Father, we just raise our expectations as we tie ourselves to You. For Jesus is our expectation, our hope. And today we just open ourselves to receive all that He is and all that has been manifest already in me, in my body. Father, I bless these people. I give You praise and glory and honor, Jesus, for all that You've done for us. And it's in that precious name that we pray. And everybody said,